Thanks, Jerry and Joe, and we will talk to you tomorrow night. It appears as though the Blue Jays will remain two games up on the Boston Red Sox in the AL East tonight. The Red Sox are all over the Tampa Bay Rays, leading their game at Fenway Park 9-3 as they play. Or 9-4, pardon me, as they play in the top of the eighth inning. Two on, two out for the Tampas. But they have a long way to go to try to get back in this one. Still, the Blue Jays open up to a four-game lead over the Baltimore Orioles, a right now six-game lead over the New York Yankees, and the Yankees are trailing the Kansas City Royals 3-1 as they play in the top of the sixth. Great game all around by the Blue Jays. Josh Donaldson and Jose Bautista go deep. They get a contribution from the bottom of the lineup for some insurance runs in the ninth as Justin Smoke gets yet another hit with runners in scoring position, a hard hit single on a curveball to drive in a run. Marco Estrada was fantastic, and the Blue Jays bullpen was perfect. Joe Biagini and Joaquin Benoit each three up and three down, and the Jays have a 5-1 win. It is Blue Jays talk. The numbers are 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays beat the Orioles 5-1 in front of 15,532 in Baltimore. That's a little embarrassing for the Orioles. When that ballpark opened, you couldn't buy a ticket for years. And now in a pennant race at the end of August against a first-place team, it felt as though there were more Blue Jays fans than Orioles fans at that ballpark tonight. Let's go to the phones, and we begin south of the border. Dan is in New York City. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Mike. There's nothing about Baltimore that's even compares to Toronto. So it's, you know, no surprise there. That's the first thing.
Well, attendance used to.
That was then. This is now. But I'd like to talk about Jose in honor of his first home run back from the disabled list. And I'd like to make a prediction that from today forward, he will be the best Blue Jays hitter through to the end of the season.
If he is, they win the division by 7.
I agree. Because even with whatever you want to call it, half of him, a quarter of him, whatever he's been this year, he's been kind of in the middle of the pack of everything. His on-base has still been pretty good. And as soon as he starts hitting that fastball again, I mean, everyone's in deep, deep trouble. And having him in the leadoff spot is, I mean, he keeps getting on base. It's great. He's no Moncayo, but it's unbelievable. And I think he'll be a great ball player going through the end of the season in the contract year. I think he's going to take all that pressure. He's going to channel it and sock some dingers, as they say.
He's no who?
Oh, it's a baseball reference from way back when. Chris Moncayo, he's one of the non-prototypical leadoff hitters that from back in the day.
But, what day are you talking about? Like the 30s?
No. Probably like the 80s.
Yeah, I think you're making that up, and you've said it twice. So chances are it's something that's I don't understand, but that a lot of people are getting a good laugh at. Because I'm pretty confident in my knowledge of all the non-prototypical leadoff hitters in the 1980s. Look, the point, whether that was a prank call or not, the point is still well made that Jose Bautista could wind up having a terrific September. And it's not beyond him to have a huge September. He's had 10 homer Septembers in the past. It's not out of the question that he gets 25 home runs, though I think it's a lot to ask. But Jose Bautista at the top of the lineup with Donaldson and Encarnacion, if Jose starts hitting, and he appears to have started, he's got 7 hits in the 4 games since he's been back off the DL and homer tonight. That will stand the Blue Jays in very good stead. Donald is in Las Vegas. Hey, Donald.
Mr. Mike, I'm going to forgo my usual pattern. My 12-year-old daughter, who is caught up in the pennant race, has a message she would like to deliver.
Go Blue Jays!
All right. Thank you from Las Vegas.
Yeah. But I did want to talk about Russell Martin's play in the fourth inning. That's a championship play. I hope everyone understands how smart of a baseball play that was. Not only did he secure the run, but he prevented a play at the plate with our home run and RBI leader. As of Thursday, we're officially allowed to look at the loss column. This is getting interesting, sports fans, and that was a smart play.
Yeah, I don't know what officially allowed to look at the loss column means. I've never quite understood why there are people who are more interested in the loss column than the games behind column. But games in hand don't count as wins. It's baseball. It's really hard to win. But as far as the Martin play, sacrificing himself between second and third so that the ball would be cut off, so that there was no play at the plate by Edwin Encarnacion, which may well have been close. I mean, Russell Martin is a really heady baseball player. He's a really cerebral guy. He understands what he's doing out there. And you're right. That was it's not going to show up anywhere, but that's a great, great baseball play by Russell Martin.
And I think Encarnacion scores there, but I'm talking jam thumb. I'm talking, you know, we don't know what's going to happen there. You know, one run game against a division rival. And that was a baseball play.
Yeah, I'm confident Edwin scores probably, but you want to make sure, and you want to make sure. Look, people love sacrifice bunts to drive a run in. There's your sacrifice to drive a run in right there from Russell Martin.
And can I pass a compliment on to you?
Yeah.
Your home run call of Tulo yesterday in the middle of paying the bills and then switching it and giving all the energy, very impressive.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, Donald. Yeah, Troy Tulowitzki interrupted one of my commercial reads with a home run yesterday. Very, very inconsiderate of him. Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles 5-1. We continue to take your calls all the way to the bottom of the hour across our network, and then until 11 o'clock Eastern time on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. More Blue Jays talk right after this. It's the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Strike one pitch. Fly ball right center field. Got under it just enough for Mark Trumbo to go back. Now he peels to the wall. Looks up. There she goes. Josh Donaldson has homered again. And the Blue Jays are in flight here in Baltimore. Fourth inning. They've tied the Orioles 1-1. Donaldson's home run offsetting J.J. Hardy's. And Josh hits home plate with number 34.
And at that point, his fourth home run in five at-bats. The J.J. Hardy homer was the only run the Orioles would get. And the Blue Jays go on to beat Baltimore by a score of 5-1. Jose Bautista going deep as well. Justin Smoke with an RBI single to drive in a big insurance run in the ninth, and perfect bullpen work. No Jason Grilli and no Roberto Osuna for the Blue Jays tonight, but Joe Biagini and Joaquin Benoit combined to retire all six batters they face in relief of Marco Estrada, and the Blue Jays get the win. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Back to the phones we go. Ian is in Welland. Hey, Ian.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Go ahead.
So that was just a wonderful game tonight, all around, I think. But I really like the fact how well Joe Biagini has pitched, not only tonight, but overall throughout through the season. I'm still not 100% sure how the whole Rule 5 thing works, but I know he's been good, and you pointed out on Twitter there's been some really, really good Rule 5s over the years.
Yeah,
he's really worked out really well.
No, and you know what? What you expect, you got him for nothing, for $50,000. That's what they got Joe Biagini for.
Yeah, so I hope this guy's going to be in with the Jays for a long time, because he's not only is he a great pitcher, he's a great character. He's just a funny, funny guy, too.
He is a character, that's for sure. You expect that a Rule 5 guy, that you're going to pick him up and you're going to hide him in the back of your bullpen all year. You like the arm, you want him for the future. And, you know, Joe Biagini, the plan, if he was even going to survive his first week with the Blue Jays, and that was very much in doubt, was that he's your seventh reliever. He comes in blowouts when you're up by eight, down by eight, gets a little work, and probably, you know, you get him to stub a toe in May and spend a month and a half on the disabled list. And that's the way it works with most Rule Fivers. Very rarely do you find a guy that you take in the Rule Five draft who actually makes a contribution to a championship club, whether it's a division championship or a pennant or World Series or whatever that is. So this is 1,000% found money, and he has done a wonderful, wonderful job.
Yeah, you can throw him out there with confidence, knowing that he's going to contribute, which is great. It's great to see.
Yeah, knowing that there's a very good chance that he goes out there and gets the job done. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was all in all great, and I just like that guy, and I really, really hope he stays in the Jays uniform for a long time.
Well, they've got him under control for 5 years after this one, so...
Well, so there we go.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to be going anywhere anytime fast.
Awesome. Thanks,
Thank
Mike.
You. Appreciate Bye. The call. I have a feeling that Joe Biagini spends a lot of next year in Buffalo being a starter. And that's a good thing. I think that Biagini's future with the Jays may well be in the rotation. But we'll see. He may be just pitching too well out of the bullpen. But next year, you'll still have Asuna. You'll still have Grilly, Bo Schultz, Ryan Tepera. There's still some talent there. Maybe Biagini, probably Biagini, serves the Blue Jays better long-term as a starting pitcher. Devin is in Peterborough. Hey, Devin.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
Just wanted to get your opinion on why they would have started Martin instead of Navarro when Estrada's got such a good ERA with Navarro catching.
Estrada went to the All-Star game with Martin catching.
True.
If you can't pitch to Russell Martin, you can't pitch to anybody. And also, Martin didn't catch all weekend. Navarro hadn't even played in 3 days. I thought it was really, really important, actually, that Russell Martin catch Marco Estrada tonight. And I thought it was great that Estrada pitched so well.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you couldn't have expected him to pitch any better with Navarro back there, right?
Oh, no. I just, to get him back on the team with a pitcher that he did really well with, I just kind of thought that it would have been well-suited.
Well, remember, too, that Navarro was a Jays starting catcher in 2014, so he caught everybody. He's caught Stroman. He's caught Happ. He's caught Estrada. Sanchez, he caught him as reliever, I guess, in 2014. But, yeah, he's caught him. He's caught everybody but Dickey and Liriano as a Blue Jay. So there's nobody that he's really unfamiliar with. And I think, honestly, the Estrada Navarro thing was more coincidence than anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
On a side note, it was great to see him in the dugout today laughing and carrying on and just kind of like he never left. It's great to have him back.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Devin. It really is like Deonna Navarro never left. I was talking to Joe Siddle about it in the pregame show on Saturday or Sunday. Can't remember. Just to say, look, it's like the guy was hurt for a few months and now he's back and he never left. And having that guy in the clubhouse is a very, very good thing for the Toronto Blue Jays. Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles 5-1. We have heard from John Gibbons. He met the media post-game scrum in his office at Camden Yards. Well, let's hear what he had to say. Here's Gibby with the press.
Gibby, what's it mean to hold that offense that they have, as you guys did, and just do all kind of the little things right?
Well, you look at their offense. It's a tough offense to shut down. You know, we were talking earlier about, you play each other so many times, so everybody knows everybody anyway, so that just kind of magnifies it. I mean, Miley was great. He held us in check pretty damn good himself. You know, it's one of those games that, we played a good game. Got some key hits at the right time.
What did you like about Estrada this night?
Well, he was like his old self, Good changeup, hitting the spots, more breaking balls. I thought tonight and we're pretty good. So
when you look at it, what the math is like. But you come in here and get the first one against them, and they're chasing you. How big is that for you guys?
Well, I think the way you look at it, you try to win every game from here on out. We always have battles with these guys. They're slugfest, they're back and forth. Two very even teams. So And, you know, they're so good here at home. So, you know, but you, anytime you're in the first game of series, you get that, you always feel that much better.
How encouraged were you to get some nice performances from Biagini and Benoit tonight?
Oh, yeah. It's big, you know, but, you know, Biagini, he's been good all year. You know, he's really, it's really amazing story is what it is. And you know, he just keeps getting better and better. And one thing he does, he gets ground balls. You know, he's a ballpark like this, that's pretty good feeling, too, you know. So, and then Benoit, shoot, since he's gotten here, you know, he's been just about perfect, I think. So what can you say? You can't say enough about him and Grilly and those guys, any of them, you know.
Josh goes deep once. He could have really had pretty close to another one. I mean, can you just talk about the groove that he's in right now?
Why don't you talk about it? That's your job. I just talked about him yesterday.
Okay. You want to apologize now or later?
No, never apologize. Never apologize when you're right. Why would you apologize when you're right?
Looks like you could. Looks like he could be close to another MVP type thing.
Oh, he's having that kind of year, man. He's such a good player, you know, and you know, makes a, you know, when he's doing his thing, you know, makes a big difference for this team. It really sets everything up, you know, really helps Eddie out behind him and those other guys driving runs. He's on base. So, yeah, he's having, you know, what can you say? I mean, you know, the last few years he's come into his own. He's one of the top dogs out there. Oh, because you guys aren't right. You very rarely are you right.
John Gibbons giving it to the assembled media there. The last question, if you didn't hear it, was, has Estrada settled the debate? And that was about the six-man rotation, because Estrada was on regular rest, 4 days rest, and pitched brilliantly today. And no. The debate's not settled. I continue to believe Marco Estrada had a rough 3-start run. Hopefully he's out of it right now. Same sort of thing that Marcus Stroman was going through, though his was over 7 starts back in June. Estrada, brilliant, gives up a run on 4 hits over 7 innings plus 1 batter. The bullpen perfect behind him. Joe Biagini with 3 outs and Joaquin Benoit with 3 more. And the Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles 5-1. We're Blue Jays talking it up. Back to the phones. Michael is in Mississauga. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Michael.
I just want to raise a bit of concern that I had, and I want to see if you maybe shared some of it too. Benoit and Grilly have been obviously great finds for us, and frankly, we're pretty lucky that they have come through the way they have. And they've been run out there a lot by Gibbons lately. Like, we've been really using them a lot. But as old guys, they're kind of trending how old guys do, where they struggle at the beginning of the year, find their groove in the middle, and I'm a bit concerned that they might fade out more so at the end of the year and into the playoffs.
I don't know how you say with such certainty that that's how old guys trend.
No, well, I'm not. I'm just saying, you know, if you would look at it objectively, I think that that is kind of how it's happened. I'm speaking also from the example of last year, where I believe that happened with Hawkins and Lowe, where they did run out of gas more so the end of the year, and it's almost like a mirror image to me.
Hawkins definitely did. There's no question that LaTroy Hawkins was out of gas, but I don't know that Lowe did. But you look at Jason Grilly. Jason Grilly's pitched 31 and two-thirds innings this year. In 2014, he pitched 54. In 2013, he pitched 50. In 2012, he pitched 58 and two-thirds. So he's at 48 and two-thirds overall. So he's approaching those numbers. But I think with Grilly, maybe more than anybody else, he gets a little bit of an adrenaline rush. And I have a feeling that he's going to be fine. I don't expect that this is but the level of performance from Grilly is going to go down. Benoit, you look at his year, he has now pitched 37 and two-thirds innings this season. 65 and a third last year, 54 and a third the year before, 67 the year before that. So these guys are used to hauling innings as far as relief innings goes. It's LaTroy Hawkins was 42. LaTroy Hawkins was hurt, came back off the disabled list when he came back for the Jays and had a great month and then just fell right off the map. Mark Lowe, I disagree with your thesis statement, but no, I'm not worried about these two. And you know, you've got some good backup in the bullpen too. If you can't rely on Grilly and Benoit. But again, I would be surprised if we saw that over the next 2 months, their performance dramatically dipped for more than, you know, two or three outings, which is kind of normal and natural.
Well, I do hope you're right in that, because I feel like we would be in big trouble if one or both of them regress significantly, especially since we use them in such high leverage situations.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Blue Jays, Jason Grilly is the where would they be without guy this season. And if he was to regress, they're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and Mike, just one last question before I go. I know you've been a strong supporter and believer in Brett Cecil. And going into the playoffs, we clearly have a need for a left-handed arm out of the pen. Are you really confident in his ability to get out when he needs to? Or do you think that the Jays might need to look for something before the deadline in a day?
I am not confident in his ability to get outs when they need to. No, I admire the fact that John Gibbons continues to try to get him going, and that he's using him, well, at least since Cleveland, has been using him in lower leverage situations to try to get him going. But Brett Cecil is certainly not right. I'm a supporter of Brett Cecil to the extent that I don't believe he's garbage, which is what a lot of people who call into this show tend to say, and that shouldn't be used ever, and he's terrible, and shouldn't be in the major league. So if my disputing that means that I'm a strong supporter of Brett Cecil, then fine. But he has certainly not earned trust in high leverage situations this season. And so, but the secondary part of your question was to suggest that they need a left-handed relief pitcher. I don't think they need a left-handed reliever in the bullpen for their playoff run. I do think Francisco Liriano is going to be in the bullpen for the playoffs. So there's your lefty who does a really terrific job at getting lefties out. But I don't know that that sort of thing is a necessity. I think especially when you've got Grilly and Benoit and Asuna and Biagini, who are four really, really strong pitchers, you don't need that Boone Logan. It's nice to have, and I'm sure the Blue Jays are looking for one, and they'd love to bring one in before Wednesday night so that he could be eligible for the playoffs, but I don't think it's a necessity. I appreciate the call. Phone lines remain open, 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. John is in Perry Sound. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, John.
Is there a way in your mind that Marco can go on regular breaks, so every 4 days, Aaron can have a couple of breaks, and you can still do a six-man rotation for the rest of the season, or is that just kind of impossible?
Well, I think it's unnecessary. I mean, I don't know that it's impossible.
Well, I knew you'd say that.
Yeah, because there's no evidence that the rest is any different.
Well, he's just had a great night.
Yeah, he had a great night.
He hasn't had a great night for the last few. So humor me.
Okay.
If I was right.
Yeah.
Which I'm clearly not, and you are. Is there a way that it works that Marco can sort of go on regular?
You could do it, but it would really mess with everybody else. I mean, you'd have Estrada on his 4 day rest, and you'd have, you know, Jay Happ sometimes on 5 days, sometimes on six, sometimes on seven, because you want to work Sanchez in there. You'd have Marcus Stroman and Dickey and everybody doing the same sort of thing, just, you know, to get around. Well, let's see if we can do a sort of radio teleplay here of how it might work out. Let me just pull up the Blue Jays schedule here for the remainder of the season. You've got Estrada, who you want to keep on 4 days, right? So that would mean that he pitched tonight. So 1, 2, 3, 4, he's got to pitch on Saturday, which means that you've got Happ tomorrow, Sanchez on Wednesday, let's say R.A. Dickey on Friday. So then Marco goes on his regular day on Saturday, which means that you've got Stroman and Liriano pitching Sunday and Monday. Stroman would be on, When's the last time Stroman pitched? Stroman pitched on Saturday, so he would go Sunday, so he'd be on 7 days rest. Liriano would pitch on Monday, and he pitched on Friday, so he'd be on 10 days rest. And then you would go back Monday to... Yeah, this is too complicated to do on live radio.
Well, I mean, I guess,
but you're going to be messing around with everybody else's schedule.
No, I guess the question is Estrada the only one that's sort of fussed, if you will?
I don't think he's fussed anymore.
Rotation. I mean, he played great tonight, but yeah. He was on his, quote, regular rotation. I have no idea what that means. I have no idea whether, you know, there's any – I mean, he had a back issue for the last three. I mean, I just don't know. But
no, I think he just pitched poorly, and I don't know that – I really don't understand why people can't just simply wrap their heads around he pitched poorly. Like everyone – not everyone. A lot of people try to look for reasons why things happen when the reason is just staring you in the face that these are human beings who aren't going to be great every time they get the ball. And it's the whole – you know, sports is so narrative fed, and I think part of it obviously is the analysts and the 24/7 sports radio, and people need something to talk about. So a lot of times, a lot of people make up a lot of stuff because it's no, you know, it's not compelling radio just to say, man, he had a bad game today. And I honestly think he had a couple of rough ones in a row, and that's all it was. And we'll see, because I don't think he's going on his regular day next time out, and I don't expect him to get lit up next time out.
And he was awesome tonight.
So yeah, he was.
That's the best news.
And he was also awesome in the playoffs last year, right? He had some of the best starts the Blue Jays have ever had in the playoffs. None of them were on 4 days rest.
Exactly. And the Blue Jays are great, and we're having fun. Good night. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you. Appreciate the call. That's important to remember, too, right? Marco Estrada had arguably the two best playoff starts in Blue Jays history last year. And you can make the argument that those were the two best starts, highest leverage, all of that stuff in the postseason last season. And Marco Estrada, last year in the playoffs, one pitching on regular rest. This whole notion that this is what it has to be, it's so terribly overstated. He pitched game 3 of the ALDS on October 11th. And actually, I stand corrected, because Eddie was on 4 days rest for game 1 of the ALCS, where he wasn't great, and on 4 days rest again for game 5 of the ALCS, in which he was. So he made 3 playoff starts. 2 of them were phenomenal, one of which was on 4 days rest, and the other one, I don't know, was that on 2 weeks rest? October 11th was his first playoff start last year, and his last start in the regular season was October 3rd. So it was on 7 days rest. One start on 7 days rest and one start on 4 days rest. Both were awesome. The other start on 4 days rest was not especially good. Tonight, he was terrific, and he pitched the Blue Jays past the Baltimore Orioles 5-1. Sneak in one more call here on the network. Ryan is in Markham. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan. Oh, my God.
No, you're Ryan.
I know. I can't believe I'm about to say that. I wanted to, well, quick first comment. When you consider the amount of money, the term, plus the fact that we didn't have to give up a draft pick, surely Jay Happ is the best off-season free agent signing in all of baseball.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that there's anybody better. Absolutely.
You know, and then I'm really interested about Osuna, and I remember reading a while ago that he actually said he'd prefer to be a closer.
Yes.
So the top-of-the-line closers, I guess in baseball, maybe make, I don't know, 12, maybe 13 million a year, I suppose, like when they're at their peak.
I can make a little bit more than that. I mean, it depends. And the market's changing, and there's going to be a lot more money out there. But, yes, elite starters make way more money than elite closers.
Yeah, and, I mean, considering, you know, baseball players for the vast majority seem to be about the, you know, the you-know-what, the money first, that's really interesting for him to sort of be that quite that adamant about that, no?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a very long career ahead of him. He's only 21 years old still. He really enjoys being a closer. He loves the adrenaline rush. He loves being that last line of defense, and you can't blame him. And I think he understands, too, the road that it would take to get him to be a major league starting pitcher. He's already had Tommy John surgery. He's never thrown more than 80 innings in a year. So if he wants to be a starter, you want to stretch him out, it's going to take 3 years for him to be able to get to the point where he can be a 200-inning starter. He knows that, and he knows that that's going to set his development back and going to cost him money in the short term. And remember, too, that this is a guy who came from absolutely nothing. And so,
Me too, yeah. You
know, he'll have more than enough,
right.
More than he ever dreamed of.
Can I just squeeze in this?
If you can do it in 15 seconds.
Three things I miss about baseball in the 80s. Those talking baseball songs.
Uh-huh, those were awesome.
Relievers getting brought out to the mound in golf carts.
Those were cool, too. Not everywhere,
and
but
guys
some
with funny batting stances like Garth Orange and this guy from the New York Yankees, I remember, like Oscar Gamble and a few others. So there you go. Everyone has the same batting stance now. So
There aren't any Garth Orges out there anymore. It's true. But yeah, it's become a lot more cookie cutter. I appreciate the call. Thank you. We will continue to take your calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and on sportsnet.ca/590 all the way till 11 o'clock Eastern time. I was talking baseball songs were pretty terrific. Absolutely. Especially the Blue Jay version. Sam Ewing, Tom Underwood, whatever. Postgame show is brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Blue Jays with a 5-1 win in Baltimore. It's a Sportsnet Radio Network. Terrific night for Marco Estrada. Pretty much a perfect game played by the Blue Jays as they beat the Baltimore Orioles 5-1. Josh Donaldson and Jose Bautista go deep. They nurse a 3-1 lead into the ninth when they get a couple of big insurance runs, an RBI single by Justin Smoke, RBI ground out by Devin Travis. And after Estrada was done, Joe Biagini and Joaquin Benoit picked him up with perfect work out of the bullpen. The Red Sox were winners. They remain two games back, but the Orioles now four back of the Blue Jays in the AL East. We're back tomorrow, 7 o'clock Eastern. It'll be Jay Happ on the hill against Ubaldo Jimenez. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. Subscribe to the podcast! For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Emil Delich, and Josh Goldberg, I'm Mike Wilner. Blue Jays Talk continues.
The talking baseball, Rick Cerrone and Louis Gomez. Blue Jays baseball, Ron Fairley, Hector Torres, Big John and Griff and Otto all could play. Roy Howell, Rico Carty, Dave McKay. I'm talking baseball. 10 years with the Jays.
10 years with the Jays. There's Terry Cashman with Talking Baseball. That was really something. It's too bad we don't get those anymore.
Bobby Cox, he took the reins, and the Jays made instant gains. In 85, a winner arrived, it's what we waited for. We're talking baseball. Bell and Mosby do the slugging. Blue Jays baseball, Steve and Lamp, they do some chucking. Garcia and Fernandez make the plays. Upshaw, Barfield, and Tom Hankey save the day. I'm talking baseball. 10 years with the Jays.
Did he really say Tom Hankey? Sounded like he said Tom Hankey there. Terry Cashman did the original Talking Baseball, which was Willie, Mickey, and the Duke, about the golden age, I guess, of baseball. And then he did one for every team. And that was the one for the Blue Jays. I guess it happened in 1986, 10 years with the Jays. I had forgotten a lot of that. But that's pretty cool. Thanks to the caller for reminding us of the existence of Talking Baseball. I think most people probably thought of The Simpsons when they heard that. But that was after all the other stuff. Ken Griffey's grotesquely swollen jaw. Who was it who had the problems with the law? Steve Sachs? No, it wasn't Steve Sachs. Can't believe these guys behind the glass don't know. All right. Anyway, Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles by a score of 5-1. The Jays are 2 up on Boston still, now 4 up on the Orioles, still 5.5 up on the Yankees. Actually, now 6 up on the Yankees, and it might be 6.5 soon because the Yankees trailing Kansas City 6-1 in the bottom of the 7th. It don't look now, but the Royals are starting to make inroads as far as that wild card is concerned. And maybe starting is the wrong thing to say, because that 9-game win streak they went on just thrust them right back into the middle of everything. And so with a win today, and the Baltimore Orioles are the team that's in that second wild card spot, with a win today, the Kansas City Royals would move to within 2 games of the Orioles. The Detroit Tigers already beat the White Sox 4-3, so the Tigers are just 1 game behind the Orioles for that second wild card spot. And going into tonight, it was Seattle, Houston, and KC all tied 3 games back. Kansas City is winning. Again, they're leading the Yankees now 7-1 in the bottom of the 7th. Houston is winning 6-0 over Oakland in the top of the 8th. Seattle not holding up their end of the bargain. The Mariners are trailing the Texas Rangers 6-1. So it's getting nice and tight in that wild card chase going into September. It's going to be a fun pennant race. And I really hope that you don't consider just fun if the Blue Jays are 5 games up or more in the division, because that is not likely to happen. But man, is it going to be fun. John is somewhere. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Whitby, Mike.
Whitby. We like Whitby.
Yeah, that song reminded me when you mentioned Mickey. I saw Mickey play in Old Yankee Stadium back in the day, sitting out in the bleachers in center field. And my goodness, that was a long way from home plate. I can't remember the dimensions, but it must have been 400 and something, 40 feet or something, but it was a long way out. But anyway, the answer to the 5-day rotation is Dickey and Lariano pitch and say the fifth game. They could split the fifth game.
Well, but the whole reason to have the 6-man rotation is to lessen Aaron Sanchez's workload, so that doesn't address that issue at all.
Yeah, but when it comes to crunch time, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, but that's, you know. I mean, I'm glad, but there's a lot of medical evidence that suggests that he won't if he, you know, doesn't get these breathers.
Yeah. But anyways, Atkins and Spiro have done a great job shoring up the bullpen, getting Upton. They've really made a great contribution to this 2016 Blue Jays team.
Absolutely.
And but people think, oh, this is Alex's team. It's as much their team now as Alex. Alex, you know, he got us Donaldson and Tulowitzki and moved Reyes on and got us Martin. And he did a great job for us. But people forget that two of our mainstays, Batista and Encarnacion, they were J.P. Ricciardi players.
Yep. Though the story is that it was on Alex's suggestion that Batista was acquired. But, it's funny because you're right. We think of we forget the acquisitions of the previous regime, which Alex Anthopoulos was a part of. But Alex certainly built the core of this team, and Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins have done a wonderful job of supplementing that core.
They really have.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons they're in first place, a major reason.
Yeah, one other thing, I'd like to see KC out of the playoffs. I mean, I don't know, they always give us trouble. I could do without them.
Oh, the Jays went 4-2 against Kansas City this year.
Yeah, so they're playing a little better now, a lot better.
Yeah.
So. Hey, tell me something. The Berrigini, who acquired him? Was that Atkins and Spiro?
Biagini.
Yeah.
And Atkins and Shapiro.
Shapiro.
But it was, they picked him in the Rule 5 draft.
So they got him, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, it was nice talking to you, Mike.
All right.
This September baseball, I hope every year we can have meaningful baseball in September.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I mean, this is what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, like the Cardinals. You know what I mean? If we could be good every year.
Well, they certainly, you certainly would think that an organization like this, an ownership like Rogers, has the power to have the Blue Jays be a contender every year. And it would be great after going 20 years where, you know, the most meaningful September baseball was, well, if they sweep the Red Sox at Fenway, then they'll be two games back of the second wild card or two games back of a wild card. I mean, that was as meaningful as we got for 20 years. And this is so much better. Mel is in Toronto. Hello, Mel.
Hey, Mike. Thanks, Josh, for taking my call. Mike, just a little personal note. I wanted to congratulate you on your 28 years. You mentioned 1988 was your start, and I was so proud to hear that when you mentioned it yesterday. I wanted to call in to congratulate you. What a joy you are, and what joy you brought to all these fans that keep calling in. I love to listen to the show, and you're phenomenal.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I haven't been taking calls for 28 years.
No, I know that. Yeah. I also wanted to apologize to you and Melvin for my impatience with him. You were right. I was wrong. I'm eating crow, and it doesn't taste well, but I'm very, very much delighted with what he's done of late. And when he gets on base and he can run, and a great example with that.
Look, I mean,
it's phenomenal.
Yeah. I don't know how many other people wouldn't have scored on that, but you knew that Upton was going to.
Absolutely.
The thing is, it's as I tried to explain to not just you, but a lot of people who called in to talk about how terrible Melvin Upton is when he first came to the Blue Jays, there's such a huge danger in making these assessments of a player based on such a tiny little sample. And Upton with the Blue Jays started 6-44. And, you know, that was 15 games, just over 2 weeks.
Right.
And that's nothing in the overall span, especially when someone's had a 12-year career. And since then, he's 15-52, so hitting just a hair under .300 over the next 14 games.
And we have him for free next year.
Pretty much, yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it, and it's nice. It's, you know, it's always big of a person to call in to say they were wrong, because it's so much easier in a format like this where there's no accountability for anybody to call in and say, this guy's terrible, they got to get rid of him, I can't stand him, and then a month later call in and say he should win the MVP. And I know we get a lot of that. So big ups to Melvin for calling in and reassessing his evaluation of the other Melvin. 5-1 Blue Jays over Baltimore tonight. Laura is in London. Hey, Laura.
Hi.
Hi.
I listen on the London station.
Cool.
And on Sunday nights, they always play like an ESPN, purely American. It's kind of like Coast. You know that other show, Coast to Coast? Like you hear American ads. It's definitely American, right?
So you're not talking about just Sunday Night Baseball? There's like something else?
Yeah. No, that's it.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, I was listening to it, and when my ears perked up when they began to discuss, just to tell their listeners, I think, what was going on in the American League West, what was going on in the American League East. So I was waiting to hear just what they would say about the Blue Jays being in first place. But this is what you could help me with. They left out the Blue Jays. They didn't at all mention the Blue Jays. They only mentioned Boston and the Orioles, right?
I'm sure that's not true. I think you must have missed something. If they were discussing, like, I don't know what ESPN does, but if they're discussing the division, then absolutely they would have had to have mentioned the Blue Jays. Now, they might not have, but they might not have played up the Jays' highlights Sunday because they were playing against the Twins, the last place team. Boston was the game that they were doing Sunday night, something like that. So there might have been a passing reference. There's no way they ignored them.
If someone else heard it, because this is why I'm calling, they did mention Donaldson's three home runs.
Okay, so there you go.
But what I wanted to know is, because what do American baseball, like the major people, like the Ted Turner, like people, you know what I mean? Like, do they just not think of Blue Jays? Like, do they not? Is there not anti-Canada, but just pro-American?
I hate to say this, but I think a lot of Americans think that Canada is a tiny little strip on the top of the map because that's all they see on their weather maps, and it's really cold and there's winter here and they don't know anything about Canada and they don't care to. I was on vacation this winter, and I don't know if this is representative, but I met a couple of couples, and one of them was from Texas, and he was a cop in Texas, terrific guy. And we were talking about traveling, and I said, you know, you should come up to Canada. It's beautiful. Check it out. Toronto's great. Check out a Blue Jay game or something. And he said, well, I don't have a passport. I said, oh, well, you got to get one of those. And he said, but why would I want one? There are so many great things to do in this country. And for me, that sort of summed up a lot of not every, but a lot of Americans and how they feel about the rest of the world. It doesn't really matter. And I know because, you know, when I was growing up watching the Blue Jays, whenever they got on Saturday afternoon baseball on NBC, I would get really excited and all that stuff. And great to show them down in the States. But as I've aged, I've come to this conclusion that I don't care whether the Americans are paying attention to us or not. It doesn't matter. What matters is they're in first place. They've got a chance to win. It doesn't matter if people in the United States know how good this team is. We know that this is a really good team.
Exactly. And that's my question. Like, when we say that we win or when we do in that scenario, it really will be not that Canada wanted to show up Americans. Like, Blue Jays are just great. Like it's odd that they weren't saying so when they were saying so about all the other teams, like really fairly. I just wonder if anyone else was listening to the broadcast on the London station last night and if they picked that up too. And having Josh Donaldson as the MVP of the American sport or...
Yeah, you know whatever. What? Thanks for the call, Laura. I got to let you go because I got a lot of other people to get to. That was on Fan 590, is Sportsnet 590 The Fan as well. And across the network. So we could go back and look and listen and see. Someone else on Twitter is agreeing with you that they didn't mention the Blue Jays at all. So I would, I'd actually love to hear if we had a chance to go through it, what they did or what they didn't. But again, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. And we get worked up because Americans don't notice us. And they're never gonna. And that's totally okay. There aren't any arrows on my screen. Usually I get an arrow. But we'll find out who's next at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Emil Delich, our talented technical director, just told me 60% of Americans don't have passports. That's actually a smaller number than I thought. Glenn is in St. John's, Newfoundland. Hello, Glenn.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are the Maritimes treating you?
Well, it's the Atlantic provinces, but we're big fans out here.
What? You know, we're not allowed to call the Maritimes anymore?
Particularly, or after the post-show phone-in is always great entertainment. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, but wait a minute. I'm not allowed to say Maritimes? That's bad now?
Oh, no. I think the Maritimes refers to the three maritime provinces.
Oh, really? And it's only Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and PEI? I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, no, it's not a... I don't think it's a slight.
Okay.
I'm just telling you. Listen, before I ask my question, interesting anecdote about the an interesting observation, really, yep, about the passport thing. You know, we kind of take it for granted because we travel a fair bit, but you're right. A whole bunch of Americans just simply don't have them and don't think they need them, you know. Mike, first, could you answer a simple question? The Josh Tolley thing,
yep,
I wasn't up on it today, but his assignment or waivers, was that in time? I know you mentioned yesterday that it had to be done by a certain time to be in time.
For him to be eligible for the playoffs when the Blue Jays bring him back.
Yeah, by the end of them, because of the 72 hours.
Yeah.
Was that done in time, sir?
It wasn't if they wind up releasing him. If they just designate him for assignment and he comes off the 40-man roster and they bring him back that way, then I think it might be, but I'm not 1,000% sure. So I think if they take him off the 40 and they wind up outrighting him to a minor league club, he wouldn't be able to be back for R.A. Dickey's next start. So unless they want to move Dickey around, which they can with the off day Thursday, then Tolley, it's either going to be he's not going to be eligible for the playoffs or he's not going to be able to catch Dickey on Friday. I would think one of those two things is guaranteed. But again, I'm only about 90% sure on that.
Okay, because I'm a little naive, but going back to your column on the weekend, which I read and enjoyed, does that has anything changed from last evening?
No.
Okay, sir.
No.
And quickly, if I may, the Saunders guy, who has a Newfoundland connection, by the way, could you quickly summarize or give me a quick recap of his season? I mean, I know he was really doing well early in the year, but since I've been listening particularly the past month and a half to every single game as opposed to, you know, occasional, has there been a change in Saunders? I know he sat tonight, but that was for other reasons. But that lineup was powerful tonight. What's your read on the Saunders?
He's having a rough time. He was phenomenal in the first half of the season going into the All-Star break. He was arguably a top five offensive outfielder.
Wow.
But he has really, really had a hard time since the All-Star break. He's been in an extended, pretty big slump. Starting to come out of it a little bit, I guess. He's got hits in his last three games played, and over the last six games, he's 6-for-21, which is pretty nice, with a couple of walks and only three strikeouts. But from the All-Star break on, I will let you know in a second, the numbers are pretty awful. 31 games since the All-Star break, he's hitting 180 with 39 strikeouts and 111 at-bats, and only five home runs in 30 games, not so bad. But it's been a real struggle for Michael Saunders, and hopefully he snaps out of it and he gets back to, I doubt he'll get back to what he was before, but he get back to what he sort of is as a player, which would be a big help for sure.
Well, for sure, and I'd hope so too. And as I mentioned, his grandparents and whatnot live here in Newfoundland. He has those kind of roots, so we're all pulling for him. But look, such helpful information, and thanks so much for your answers to the questions. And keep up the great work.
All right, thank you. I appreciate the call a lot. And there's Glenn living up to the stereotype that Newfoundlanders are the nicest people in this country. That's a great call. Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles by a score of 5-1. Andrew is in Brampton. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Mike. I'm going to have to agree. That was a fantastic call. The generosity and just how genuine we are as callers towards you and Jerry, it's fantastic. And I'm definitely going to echo the sentiment. You're a treat to listen to, whether you're on Baseball Central or wherever. I always try and rush to my radio to hear your voice. But
thank you.
One thing. I was actually a proponent of having Sanchez start the season in the bullpen. I know it's crazy. Then fast forward to the road trip in Houston. I was like, okay, you know, maybe he's going to go to the bullpen now. And then I've been waiting and waiting. I've also heard you say a couple times that you think Liriano can be our lefty out of the bullpen for the playoffs. So
yeah.
where does that leave Sanchez then? Because I would have no problem him being, I guess, the lefty, well, not the lefty, he's a righty, but to attack lefties in the playoffs. I'm confident in that for sure. So what do you think?
I think that Aaron Sanchez is going to be in the rotation in the playoffs.
Really?
I think he wow. You know, he might be the fourth starter, the guy who starts once a series, but I think their plan now is to not have him pitch out of the bullpen at all.
Yeah, because, I mean, if they were going to do it, they would have done it already, correct?
Not necessarily. Okay. But, you know, they sent him down to skip a start, and he'll probably skip another couple of starts in September. And if there are any signs, warning signs, red flags or anything, then they might just shut him down completely. But I think right now the plan is that Aaron Sanchez will get three starts in September, maybe four, probably three, and then a start in each round of the playoffs.
Okay, thanks. I just thought of something else quickly. We brought in Price out of the bullpen last year, spur of the moment. Gibbons had to bring him in. I had no issues with that at all, you know, win the game. Is Sanchez going to be able to do something like that? Is he completely off the table to doing that? I don't see they would put this much effort into keeping him as a starter and then trying to, wonking it back and forth in the playoffs just to win one game.
I think that if you're talking about a game seven or a game six when you're down 3-2, maybe, but maybe. I mean, there's a lot less of a chance of it happening than with Price last year and then with Stroman when he was in the bullpen in game six in Kansas City ready to go if they needed him. I think that it would be way down the list to use Aaron Sanchez because they've been trying to protect him. But when you get to that point, then it generally becomes an all bets are off sort of situation.
All right, Mike, I appreciate it. And again, you're a beauty.
Thank you. Appreciate it. 5-1, Blue Jays beat the Orioles. We got time for one more call. Every once in a while, the list shows me names but not places. This time it shows me place but not name. Lawrence is in Toronto. Hello, Lawrence.
Hi, Mike. Always enjoy talking to you. The loving continues tonight.
All right. I like it. I'll take it. Especially after that tweet I got before. I don't know if people are following me on Twitter, but guy was very upset that he did not get on the program and decided to take his anger out on me and not on Josh Goldberg where it belongs. But anyway, what's up, Lawrence?
Sorry to hear that. I wanted to say how it was really fun to watch the game today and watch how the team seems to be coming together. There's a crispness. I loved the fact that we had Biagini and Benoit come in, finish off the game in a way that just felt like they were filling the holes, obviously, for the grilled cheese man and for Osuna in the moments that were needed. And the team looked really professional on the road today.
Okay, I'm not sure I know what that means. I don't think I've ever seen them look unprofessional. But this was a wonderful game. This was maybe a perfect game, a game where everything went right. They pitched well, they hit well, they got big hits in big spots, and they played defense. So it's tough to play much better than that.
I agree. I also, you said it earlier, the Royals are sneaking up, and they're not sneaking up just like out of the blue. They've been doing it since they won those two last games against the Jays. And that team scares me only because they know how to win. I remember that moment in the All-Star game after Hosmer and Perez homered. I think it was back-to-back. And Hosmer was a little bit boisterous and braggadocious about, we've been on the big stage before.
Yeah, they have. And they won last year. They didn't know how to win the year before. I don't think that that's actually a thing, knowing how to win. I think just like they were this year, or just like they were last year, the Blue Jays are a better team than the Kansas City Royals, but anybody can get hot, and the Royals played a heck of an ALCS last year and a great World Series. We're back tomorrow at 7. Thanks for all the calls. Talk to you then.